What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another great show of the FTN Fantasy Show, getting you right for the Fantasy Championship. Happy holidays, man. It is full of cheer, and hopefully you are bringing home the gold. Okada, what's good, man? How was your Christmas?
My Christmas day was full of football and the office because I worked all day.
Yeah.
I figured. And the games were... I would say they were not quite disappointing because I didn't have high expectations. At least they were all close. They weren't necessarily riveting either, but no. Fun enough. The highlight of my Christmas, Laquan, have you ever played those fantasy games online where you like try to build a roster or you like draft a roster against somebody? They're like these quiz games. They're very fun. We should consider doing one on a podcast sometime.
Yeah,
where like
please.
It'll pull up a team and you have to like pick a player and it picks their best fantasy season. You try to outdraft the other person.
I freaking love that. Yes.
You've probably seen it on TikTok. Yes. I did a competition against one of my coworkers where we were not going for the highest score, but aiming for exactly 1800 fantasy points blind. And I got 1777 with my roster, which was off by like 1.3%. It was unbelievable. Highlight
what?
Of my Christmas.
I want to play, man. I want
yeah,
to
we
play.
Should do it.
Because that sounds awesome. Yeah, we should set that
it
up
is.
Sometime. Yeah, man, my Christmas was low-key just chilling with the fam, man, cooking. We went over to the Grant's house for, you know, Christmas Eve. Shout out to Marcus. We had a great old time. Pizza and Uno, where it got intense with, you know, everybody. I mean, Uno brings out the best of you, but it was just one of those cool low-key. Seriously, man, Uno gets intense in this household, at least it's for the yep. Joneses. So we welcomed the Grants. You know, we all played together where it was one of those things where like, hey, this could become a tradition, like Christmas Eve Uno with the Grants. Like, it was actually like one of those situations that, you know, being from Jersey, the family ain't over here with us. So we got to bring in new traditions, bring in new family, you know, things to come into Christmas. So, yeah, I had a good old Christmas. Low key, ate good. And here we are. We both worked on Christmas, by the way, Okada. So I feel your pain. But enough of that. Let's get folks ready for week 17, the championship. Games have been played. Folks have disappointed. Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, CeeDee Lamb, Courtland Sutton, catch the ball. So many people have disappointed us so far already with games under our belt that we're playing from behind. So what is the need to know, Okada, for week 17, the championship? I know you got it over there on the FTNFantasy.com website.
I got you some need to knows. First things first. Defense and kickers win championships.
Yes.
We know this in the real NFL, but we forget it sometimes in fantasy, and you all need to remember it because at this time of year, it's been a long year. It's been 4 months of this, Laquan. It can be easy to just like coast your way through on the defense that you've been riding or the kicker that you've been riding and give up 4, 5, 6, 7 fantasy points. You do not... Yeah, okay.
I was tempted. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. It just happened. For folks that are listening, I did the 6-7 hand movement. I'm sorry.
But continue. It's really crazy how often it comes up accidentally. But those fantasy points that you're giving up by not putting full effort into these two positions can make the difference in your fantasy championship. So I am telling you, do your research, check your rankings, whoever you follow for this kind of stuff. Look into the opponents, look into the weather, which matters a lot, and find yourself a defense and a kicker that you believe gives you the best chance to win. And we saw it last week. We saw Charlie Smith from the Saints and Chad Ryland had huge games and got a lot of people who streamed them, which admittedly is not that many for Charlie Smith, into fantasy championships. The nice. Saints defense and Charlie Ooh. Smith combined, if you played that duo, 39 fantasy points. And
amazing.
The Saints defense is one that we were streaming because they were playing the Jets. So these matter a lot. That duo, Laquan, I wrote this up in the article. Charlie Smith and the Saints defense, 39 fantasy points. That duo outscored the following full roster. This is not a joke. Josh Allen, Javonte Williams, Bucky Irving, Drake London, DK Metcalf, Trey McBride, and Josh Jacobs.
Those are a few names of why I'm not in a fantasy championship
Correct.
In a lot of leagues. Because my God, for the simple fact that you can literally say defenses win championships. I'm looking for the kickers that are playing indoor this week. I mean, Thicker, the kicker, still out there. Rams, Atlanta, Monday Night Football, folks. He's still out there. If you're playing from behind, you want to have a lot of points on the table. And I'm looking at a lot of offenses that will be in striking distance more often than not, or even some offenses that are stalling that are forced to kick the points. If they're getting beyond the halfway mark, you know they have a kicker that has been fairly accurate and he's on the waiver wire. Go pick him up, folks. It's a little bit of research, and all you got to do is listen to the FTN Fantasy Show with me, your boy Okada, and we get you set right for the championship. Okada. Now, give me another one. I'm really curious at what this number two is.
All right. I've got you on number two. Real quick, though, just as a note, if you did not pay attention and you don't have something good, this is going to be crazy. Take a look at the Giants defense and their kicker, Ben Sauls. Better Call Sauls is what they're calling him. They faced the Raiders in Vegas, indoors in Allegiant. I think that duo was sneaky. Last week, the Giants defense was great for fantasy. Just saying. They will both be available on your waiver wire, almost certainly, if you're in a pitch. Let's go to number two.
Go to number two, because I'm about to say, what scares me about that game, Okada, is the tankathon, but please move on.
True. Well, it's going to be a lot of bad offense. I expect that could be good for the defenses. Yeah, it is the tankathon. Winner, loser of that game probably gets the number one pick. Let's go to number two. The Chargers wide receiver trio against the Houston Texans is an absolute must-avoid fantasy disaster. So, coming off last week, a lot of people are going to say, I can trust my boys, Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey, going into the finals, because look what they did for me last week. Incorrect, listener. Incorrect. We've talked about context. We've talked about matchups all year long, Laquan. Who did the Chargers play last week? The Dallas Cowboys.
Come on, folks.
Whatever happens against the Dallas Cowboys, you have to throw out the window, or at the very least, you have to take all of that result with all of the context that comes with that defense. They are going from what is very probably the easiest defense, best matchup for fantasy passing attacks, to the complete opposite in the Houston Texans, which is especially tough against this Chargers O-line, because this Texans defense will get pressure against any O-line. They will obliterate Justin Herbert's O-line, and it will be very, very ugly. So prior to that Cowboys game, just as a note for everybody, what were they doing before that Cowboys game? If we had to throw the Cowboys game out, maybe we can still trust them. No, you cannot. In the previous four games, Keenan Allen, 5.5 half PPR fantasy points per game. Ladd McConkey, 4.9 half PPR fantasy points per game. This is the month prior to the Cowboys. And Quentin Johnston, 3.9 fantasy points per game, and he missed one game. This is real life, Laquan. These are not fake numbers. These are true facts. None of them hit 12-plus fantasy points from weeks 11 through 15. Keenan Allen's 53 yards in week 11 was the high watermark for the entire crew over that span. I am not trusting any of these guys. I am not touching them, as the Grinch would say, with a 39.5 foot pole. Find somebody else. And the worst part about this is, Laquan, one of these guys, maybe, will do something. Maybe. Because maybe one of them will catch a touchdown. Maybe one of them will accidentally break off a 50-yard catch and run. And so one of them might end up okay for fantasy, and you look back at the end of the week and you say, well, Okada, this guy was fine. It could happen, but A, I think it's unlikely. B, more importantly, I don't know which one it's going to be, and I think anyone who says they know is lying, because I have no confidence that Ladd McConkey is the most likely to do that. I have no confidence that it's Quentin Johnston. I have confidence Keenan Allen will catch a couple third down conversions, but that's about it. Avoid. I am playing Parker Washington over all these guys. I would consider playing Darius Slayton over all these guys. I would consider playing Trey Tucker over all these guys on the opposite side of the same game. Yeah, it is a disaster, and I'm not touching it if I can.
No, I feel you on that, because anybody that goes out there and say they can pinpoint which Chargers wide receiver is likely to be the one that smashes that week, you're completely lying. Because at the end of the day, this O-line is depleted, right? I know Justin Herbert balled out last week against the Cowboys, but this is the Houston Texans. You're not getting that long ball. You're not getting Quentin Johnson activated off that long ball. The Texans have been very, very stingy in the middle of the field, so there is no sprinkle of a Ladd McConkey or a Rondae Gaskins. I mean, third and Allen, it's cute, it's great, it's cool, it's serviceable, but it's not going to win you a fantasy championship. Like Okada said, if you have other options, this is fully a week of do or die. You are going for the gold, so it's all ceilings. Those are low floors. Those are the decisions that can cost you. One bad start ends it all. Okada, give me number three. I'm actually looking at the doc. I see number three. Go on, Okada. Go on.
Listen, I write 10 things to know every week in my article. And then throughout the week, as we prepare our show doc, I say, well, which ones should I pick to talk about in the podcast? This is one of the easiest weeks. It had to be done because I would say he's our boy, but it's quite the opposite of that. But he is a star on this show. Trevor Lawrence is him. Trevor Mid Lawrence? No, Trevor Him Lawrence.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. This guy has figured things out. Now,
sure did.
I will be very clear. Let me be clear. I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence has corrected his career arc. He might still get bad again at some point in the future. Maybe defenses will watch this tape of this last month, figure out how to finally play him now that he's figured out Liam Cohen's offense eventually. But for right now, he has figured out Liam Cohen's offense, and he is running it at an absurdly high rate. 20-plus fantasy points in 5 straight games. And he tagged the Jets. We all remember he tagged the Jets for 44.3.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
unbelievable. And we were like, yeah, damn. This, what was that? Is this guy finally? And then he did something more incredible when he hit the Broncos for 31.16 fantasy points. Yeah, it was 13 less fantasy points, but it was against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
If Trevor Lawrence can do that against the Broncos, I am willing to play him against anyone, in any situation, in any weather. I don't care. I trust Trevor Lawrence at this point. 279 yards and 4 total touchdowns against Denver. And now he faces the Colts, who they're not particularly exciting of a matchup. They're not particularly scary of a matchup. He scored 19.5 fantasy points against them 3 weeks ago. But he's only gotten better since then. The Colts are kind of like floundering at this point. They have a 1% chance or something of making the playoffs. Winning this game would help.
It's like
with
a 3% that chance.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
Really
don't
bad.
Count out old man Rivers, man. I think he can get it done.
he will try, and he looked better last week, which is good, gosh, by the way, for Trevor Lawrence, because it means this Colts offense might do something and keep him scoring. But there is a very, very short list of quarterbacks I'd be starting over Trevor Lawrence this week. So if you have him, I don't think he should be on anyone's waiver wires. Take a look. No. But if you have him and you have someone else and you've been deciding between the two, it's almost certainly Trevor Lawrence this week. Roll him out there. He is him.
Sir William. His first name is actually William Trevor Lawrence. I will respect his game. My man in the last 4 games has 14 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 0 turnovers, period. It's one of those things where it's like, I want to take credit. I might have motivated him in the Jaguars. I think Liam Cohen of that question of the presser saying he does not care about turning the narrative was all fully me. I will take the credit. Okay. Facts. Because this was one of the problems that I had with Trevor Mid-Lawrence. And I say that as in past tense of who I'm talking about. Inconsistent, but we have gotten nothing but consistent high frequency level of play. Playing at a first round overall level, this is the John Elway and the Andrew Luck comparison that folks were giving him before coming to the NFL. This is the type of player that we are seeing right now that may be carrying momentum into next season. I say that as long as we have the Jacoby Myers, which has been locked up for three more years. We have Brian Thomas Jr. slowly but surely squeaking his way back into relevance. And now the biggest piece here to me is Liam Cohen keeping this group together healthy and keeping the added pieces of a Travis Etienne, a Brenton Strange, and et cetera, right? This is something that I'm looking at this week. It will be the statement game. If he wins me a championship this week, because, oh, yeah, you best believe I'm rolling out Mr. William in starting lineups this week. This will be one of those conversations we'll have in the offseason. Like, is this real? Is this really happening for him? But I like that you said that he is him because he has earned that right. Do we have a bonus, Okada? I mean, like, we usually get served a bonus. It's the Christmas holiday season. What is the bonus that you got for us?
It is, of course, I was going to bring us a bonus during Christmas. Unfortunately, the bonus is a little bit wacky because it is, and I've touched on this before a little bit. I think I touched on it when Tony Pollard had that game against the Browns out of absolutely nowhere. And suddenly revealed to us, by the way, that the Browns defense just wasn't good anymore. Yeah. And this is part of this, is that teams change. But the last thing to know, the bonus thing to know for week 17 and for 2025 is we just don't know. We don't know. We don't know as much as we think we know. We try to know. Our jobs as fantasy analysts is to do the best guesswork we can. And even then, most of the time, it's 60-40. And to anyone out there who rags on a fantasy analyst for getting something wrong, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, this is why. Like, the NFL is a wild game. It's only 18 weeks long, so you have less time to figure everything out. Defenses change. People get hurt. Offenses change. Coordinators change. Coordinators' game plans change. Like, this stuff is all over the place. So I will tell you 10 things to know in my article. We will tell you several things to know in this podcast. Many other fantasy analysts will tell you things to know all over the place. But realistically, we truly don't know. And we do our best to know. And all the fantasy managers do their best to know and to make their best decisions. But it is, I don't want to say a crapshoot, but it is a lot of guesswork. And it is very hard to predict exactly what will happen. So keep that in mind when you're setting your lineups. Sometimes if you feel like, well, the fantasy analysts say this guy is ranked three spots higher, but I kind of want to start the other guy who's ranked three spots lower. You know what? There's probably a 0.3% chance that the guy who's ranked three spots higher outscores the guy who's ranked three spots lower. Like, there are very small gaps in these sorts of things. So
yeah,
make the decisions that you feel comfortable about. Use the analysis and the research that we do to inform those decisions as best as possible. But ultimately, this is a fickle game. Enjoy it, and hopefully we get some stuff right.
Here's the thing. Like, what I tell folks that would be coming into my DMs and saying, oh, you got this wrong. You told me this. You told me that. Like, bro, I'm just good at painting the picture. I'm gonna be honest. I'm good at painting a picture for you using the research notes that I have and using my eyes of what I see on what's happening on the field. And then I serve it to you. And if you eat it and you prevail and it's great, cool. I didn't mean to give you food poisoning. It's just one of those things that was out of my control. I am the server. I am not the chef. I am not the coach. I am not the player. I am simply the server handing you the food and serving you up. When you're ordering on the menu, yeah, this is pretty good. This is the chef's special today. This and this and that. It comes with a little spice here, a little spice there. And then you eat and you get food poison. You blame the server? Do you or do you blame the establishment and the chef? That's how I like to look at this fantasy analyst game. This is all I be trying to do and tell them to explain people like, bro, I am not out there running the ball. I'm not out there playing quarterback. It's not my fault. Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, Cortland Sutton all failed us this week. And now you're fighting an uphill battle. I digress, Okada. Let's transition into burning questions. Burning questions, because it's one of those things I want to help the fantasy streets. So right now, we have to look at Derrick Henry, okay? Expectations. Lamar Jackson, doubtful. Where we're going to get a Pro Bowler, Snoop Huntley, in. Like, I want to trust Derrick Henry. I want to trust Derrick Henry in the championship. I can't sit King Henry, but folks are in the DMs and in the fantasy streets thinking about hesitating starting him. So, Okada, what are your expectations with Derrick Henry this week?
First of all, how dare you do the Pro Bowl dirty like that, calling them out for their, by far, their worst move ever, making Tyler Huntley a Pro Bowler. Crazy work.
Snoop, we support him, man. Come on.
Listen, okay, I've got, if you believe in fate, out there. I've got something fun for you with Derrick Henry. So I wrote up Derrick Henry in an article for the NFL.com this week, the NFL Pro Insights that we do. If you don't have NFL Pro, check it out. Really cool fantasy tool. Similarly cool to the FTN tools we have here at FTN.
Absolutely.
But in that article, in the section about Derrick Henry, I wrote that in the month of December in his career, Derrick Henry has averaged 93.7 rushing yards per game in December. That is the third most in NFL history among players with 20-plus games. Okay? This makes sense. He's Derrick December Henry. He's hard to tackle in the cold. Defenses are tired. This is not the time of year you want to be tackling Mr. 6'4", 260 pounds.
No.
But this is where it gets interesting, Laquan. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm not saying I believe in fate. Okay? But check this out. The two guys ahead of him in December are Clinton Portis and Barry Sanders. And you say, why do I care about Clinton Portis and Barry Sanders, Okada? There were three guys interviewed yesterday during the games on Christmas. Clinton Portis and Barry Sanders were two of the three.
Huh?
I'm just saying. Coincidence, maybe. Okay, so that's my silly coincidence note. But in realistic terms, legitimately, Derrick Henry is a terrible, terrible, scary tackle this time of year in the cold. It is going to be cold at Lambeau Field. It's probably going to be nearly freezing. And Tyler Huntley, I think low-key can be good for Derrick Henry because he can still operate the offense. He is a very solid backup. You mentioned the Pro Bowl. He didn't deserve it, but he did still make it because he's a very serviceable backup to Lamar Jackson. But it also means you don't have Lamar Jackson's star power in the offense. And so it means you might, if you're the Ravens, lean a little bit more on the guy that you do have in Derrick Henry. Now, the Packers defense is very, very good. And in most situations, I would be concerned about a running back going up against this crew. They have been very staunch against fantasy running backs. But Derrick Henry in December, in the cold weather, with Huntley and this team fighting to try to stay alive, I believe he will be good. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be 30 fantasy points good because his defense is strong. But I think he will be very, very solid. He should be started as an RB1. I'm not benching him. You'd have to have some crazy running back room to bench him in a league. Roll him out there and expect him to be solid Derrick Henry, I think.
Yeah, that's what I always tell folks. Like, you have to have, like, one of those stack rooms like before. Like, when we were doing, you know, Ask the Fantasy Streets questions where folks had Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, a Kyren Williams, a Derrick Henry. Like, I don't know how folks ended up like that. Okay, but in this situation, like, if you're in the championship, these last couple weeks, the last month, he's been very consistent in giving you at least RB2 production. With Snoop Huntley now operating the offense, we could kind of paint the picture like, hey, Snoop can get out of the pocket, he can advance, he can get the yards, he can get into striking distance. They're going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry a ton. The boy is healthy, it is December, and we already know he is hard to break down, so let's not complicate things with these star power players that we have. Like, I have somebody in my DM right now asking, Ramondre Stevenson, Derrick Henry. Dude, you're starting Derrick Henry. I understand Stevenson has opportunity now with Henderson banged up, but no, you are starting Derrick Henry because that floor that Stevenson can bring is a lot lower than what Derrick Henry has shown us in the last month. So I'm rocking with Derrick Henry. Let's transition to the quarterback. Go ahead.
Well, if you need an example of what to expect, Tyler Huntley played half the game last week for the Ravens against the Patriots defense, which is as good or better against running backs as the Packers. And he had 128 yards on 18 carries and 2 touchdowns.
Yikes.
So, come on. Like, you can throw in Huntley. You can give us a bad defense. It doesn't necessarily matter. This is King Henry we're talking about. Roll him out there.
Lock it in. I want to ask you about Baker because this has been very depressing because Baker has been one of those quarterbacks that was getting drafted at QB6. I remember it, Okada. We were talking about Baker all summer. QB6 is as high as he was going. He's going before Mahomes. He was going before Bo Nix, going before Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert. The names go on. Baker Mayfield has the weapons now. Avengers are fully assembled. Can you trust him this week with the Avengers fully assembled? Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Emeka Ibuka, Bucky Irvin, they're all back. They're all here. But he has still been playing poor quarterback play. Do you trust him against Miami this week?
Trust is a strong word. If you were listening, you mentioned we talked about him a lot in the summer. If you were listening to anything that I said or wrote throughout the summer about Baker Mayfield, what you would have heard from me is that I believed he was due for major regression. Because in 2024, he had a 71% completion rate and a 7.2% touchdown rate. Those numbers don't exist outside of like one season for Drew Brees and one season for Baker Mayfield. They just don't happen. And so they were guaranteed to not happen again. And what I told everybody is he would probably fall down to his normal numbers. His normal numbers, his career numbers before last season, Laquan, 61.9% completion rate, 4.6% touchdown rate. That completion percentage is not great, but the touchdown percentage is like average pretty much. So those are normal numbers. 61.9 and 4.6. You want to know what he's done this year in 2025? 61.6 and 4.8. Exactly what he was before last year's fluky season. This is one of those fantasy analyst things where you can find some confidence, in my opinion, is when you see outlier numbers and you know that a player is not as outlier as what they showed. And I'm not saying Baker is bad, but just that he's going to regress back down towards the average. And that's exactly what he's done. He's regressed back down towards a mid-level, like low-end QB1 high.
Baker
QB2.
Mid-May field.
Baker has taken over the Trevor Lawrence mantle. And these last 6 weeks, it's been particularly concerning, despite the fact that, as you mentioned, his receiving core has gotten healthy. These last 6 weeks, one touchdown, one touchdown, one touchdown, one touchdown, yeah. Two touchdowns, yeah. One touchdown, and the interceptions have gone way up these past 6 weeks.
The turnovers.
Well. So yeah. I don't know if he's banged up a little bit. I don't know, because he did have that shoulder injury against the Rams, I believe it was, in week 12. I don't know if teams are figuring out his offense. I don't know if getting healthy, all his receivers getting healthy, somehow doesn't help him. It's hard to pinpoint exactly why. But he has not been great now, more for the most part, for 6 weeks. The Dolphins are a soft matchup, so that helps. But I'm not excited to trust him. In my opinion, he's a high-end QB2. Again, pretty much like what he largely should be expected to be. He's not that top six quarterback he was last year anymore, and we need to all stop believing that he is. So if you're between him and Sam Darnold, or him and Justin Herbert in a really tough matchup, him or Tyler Shuck?
Kirk Cousins.
I'm leaning.
It's me. You're talking to me. Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield?
I lean Baker Mayfield still there, just because I have a little more trust in him and his receiving group. But those are the kinds of names that I'm starting Baker over. Once you get to the legitimate streamers, or the like, if you have a combo of Baker and someone like
Tyler Shuck,
Caleb Williams, Jacoby Brissett, Brock Purdy. Yeah, I'm starting those other guys.
What about Cam?
So like Lewis? I don't trust him. Is the short version of the long answer is I don't trust him.
But what about Cam Ward? Can I start Cam Ward over?
No.
I mean, I'm trying to get cute here. Yeah, but Baker's been bad, bro. Like decision making bad.
Okay. In fairness, Laquan, to circle back to the bonus thing to know, Cam Ward could legitimately outscore Baker Mayfield. I would honestly not at all be surprised. If you asked me how surprised would I be, not at all. I think there's probably a 42% chance that Cam Ward outscores Baker Mayfield.
Pretty high. I like that.
I know, but this is my point with what I said earlier with the things to know. Like, it legitimately, these percentages are that close. And Cam Ward has been quietly getting better, and Baker Mayfield has been quietly getting worse. So it's not impossible. It is a 42% chance. However, I'm still going with the, what would that be, 58% chance over the 42% chance? I'm still going with Baker Mayfield. But like, if someone told me they felt confident for some reason in Cam Ward against the Saints instead of Baker Mayfield against the Dolphins, like, I wouldn't call them absolutely crazy. And I think there's a chance that he outscores him.
Ah, man, this is wild work that we're comparing these quarterbacks to Baker Mayfield. Once upon a time, QB6 off the draft board. Okay, Okada, the stage is yours, man. I know you see the doc, and it's pretty annoying that I had to pick this guy up last week, being that, you know, the Raiders want to put Brock Bowers on IR. Taysom Hill, man, he is back in the fold. I was so extremely angry before you get into it, Okada. I'm like, yes, Tyler shuck a bomb to Chris Olave with the game all the way. Oh, wait a second. That is Taysom Hill throwing a bomb to Chris Olave. I appreciate the Chris Olave points, but I wanted the Tyler Shuck points, okay? What are you doing now that so many tight ends have been below tier or just completely just on IR? Shout out to Brock Bowers. Like, are you plugging in a Taysom Hill for the championship round of the fantasy playoffs?
If you are wondering why Laquan set it up this way and why I spent the first 10 seconds of his setup dancing and singing the Mission Impossible tune, it is because Taysom Hill is my mother trucking boy. I have loved him for years, and in fantasy I have obsessively drafted and played him in all kinds of weird leagues for sometimes no explicable reason, sometimes for explicable reason.
This is your right fault, now, by the way.
It is my fault, and I take full credit, like you took full credit earlier. I take full credit for Taysom Hill. He is playable. Now, is he trustworthy? Absolutely not. Taysom Hill is never trustworthy, because any given week, he might do nothing. But right now, he's a starting running back, Laquan. He is the starting running back.
Crazy to say.
It is crazy, so but crazy. It is true. Last week we were like, "Ooh, is it Audric Estime? Are we gonna try Evan the Hole with we everybody didn't. Injured?"
We already knew it was chopped. We were not touching a Saints running back.
Correct. No. However, what the Saints decided was that it was Taysom Hill. So he had 12 carries. Audric Estime had 5. Evan Hole had 5. So even combined, they didn't have as many carries as Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill also had 6 targets, and he caught 4 for 36 yards, and he also threw one pass, and he completed it for the 38-yard touchdown that you were just highlighting to Chris Olave. He recently, I don't think it was last week, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, became the first player in NFL history to have 1,000, 1,000, and 1,000 in their career, passing, rushing, and receiving. Put this man in the Hall of Fame. Don't actually put him in the Hall of Fame. But
they probably will, thanks to you. This is disgusting. The Fantasy Hall of Fame, whatever. Like, give him a box in Canton. Just literally a box that says Taysom Hill, Fantasy Hall of Famer. That he doesn't need anything.
I would say he's a one-of-a-kind player in NFL history, Laquan, but he's actually not, because what he actually is the guys from the 1930s and 40s who were playing every position before we had real positions. That and is like. True. They were also soldiers in World War II and
mailmen, full-time dads, teachers.
In all seriousness, Taysom Hill is a playable fantasy asset this week. Is he a great fantasy asset? Not necessarily. There are a lot of tight ends I would start over him. I'd roll Dalton Schultz out there over him. I'd roll Brenton Strange out there over him for sure. I'd roll Colston Loveland out there. Maybe even Hunter Henry in a very good matchup. But you can play Taysom Hill in a pinch if you're really hurting, in a flex maybe if you're really hurting. He has a chance to put up not just a good week like he did last week, but an amazing week. He's had those weeks throughout his career where he's just gone off. This could be one of them. You can play Taysom Hill.
I want to say this, man. Like, I joke, I kid. Like, Taysom Hill is probably a great guy at the end of the day. Like, he's probably one of those guys you can hang out with, have any conversation with, and he's just a bro. But, man, I cannot express my frustrations of the fact that I am possibly going to have to, A, play Taysom Hill because of my tight end position, or B, lose because Taysom Hill is available as a running back, a pass catcher and a goddamn quarterback. This is so annoying because I look at it as it's not fair. It shouldn't be fair to have a guy that you can plug in as a flex or a tight end, and he's out there throwing bombs to Chris Olave, 34 yards. He's out there taking 12 carries away from the backup running backs. Like, it's just unfair, and it's annoying. So I'm just going to move on because we can literally spend 20 minutes of why he should be banned from fantasy, and then you could spend another 20 minutes of why he shouldn't. So Is there a quarterback that you think that absolutely needs to hit the bench this week? Like, I throw names out there in terms of like a Caleb Williams. I throw names out there in the terms of maybe a Matthew Stafford, where he's in the MVP race, where he could possibly hit the bench early for some folks because they're gearing for the playoffs. Like, is there any quarterback that you have on your mind that you think like, hey, don't play him this week? He has to hit the bench.
Among the guys who you would strongly consider starting, I would say there were two. One of them was Jared Goff. And this is going to sound like, I'm just looking back and hindsight is 2020. Fortunately, you can go read my article at NFL Pro where I said that I really didn't like him against the Vikings pass rush because they get pressure. He's on the road against pressure. It's bad. So that was a huge, huge hit. I'm going to say that that gives me confidence in my second huge, huge hit and hope that it goes as well as that one did. And that is Justin Herbert. I talked about this earlier with the Chargers wide receiver, so I don't have to go into that much more detail. But Justin Herbert has been heroically playing well these past couple months, despite the offensive line falling apart, despite his receiving core being like very inconsistent. He has like heroically pulled together some decent games. I'm not playing him this week. There is no way against Will Anderson and Derek Stingley and this Texans defense. I am all hands off. This guy, I honestly, Laquan, think it is more likely that he doesn't make it through this game than that he has a QB1 performance because he is going to get obliterated. 8+ sacks. I wouldn't be surprised if he throws 2 or 3 interceptions. Like, he will throw some great balls, hopefully, and he might get a touchdown or two. But against this defense with that offensive line, there is just no way I'm rolling out Justin Herbert. Find another streamer. You mentioned Kirk Cousins earlier. Like, I legitimately consider that over Justin
Herbert. Kirk's balling. I wouldn't say he's balling, but he's finding the end zone.
He has balled in recent weeks.
That Thursday night game was amazing to see him go out there and do that. But then it's like, he's actually worth a streaming spot. Like, you can roster him. He can bring you in some points. Like, I feel like I'm more scared of Justin Herbert's floor. And like you said, not being able to finish 4 quarters. I mean, the last time we seen him against Houston, it was 4 interceptions, only 1 touchdown. That was a terrible performance in the playoffs. So I look at it as like, if I can go with a safer bet here this week, it'd probably be in the Kirk Cousins, the Sam Darnolds of the world, the CJ Strouds even maybe on the other side of that. Like, I look at this as like, don't get cute. You see how vicious that defense is. Now, you do not want to sit a Jacoby Brissett. You don't want to sit like one of those for a Justin Herbert. So I'm just saying, folks, let's not get cute this week.
Okay. I gotta throw this to you, Laquan. Okay. First of all, just as a note, they played the Cowboys last week, so he had a great game, but you have to throw that out. Before that, 11 fantasy points, 13 fantasy points, 13 fantasy points, 4 fantasy points, 14 fantasy points. Those were his games prior to the Cowboys game for Justin Herbert, and none of them were against a defense as good as the Texans. You cannot do it. I would play Malik Willis over him. If Jordan Love sits and Malik Willis starts, I will play Malik Willis over Justin Herbert.
That is in stone. I agree. I just feel like it's too risky. Not in this game. I want to go to another difficult, I would say, situation in terms of the backfields. Like, Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard, man, they just been eating each other alive, Pauls, for the last couple of weeks. Like, the last 3 weeks, man, Chuba Hubbard actually has more scrimmage yards than Rico Dowdle. And it's like, how with less opportunities, efficiency-wise, Chuba's showing up, but Chuba's still not bullying himself for touches. So do you even think or consider a Panthers running back this week for the championship?
You think, because there are going to be a lot of fantasy managers, I would think, Laquan, where Rico Dowdle is going to be a flex consideration for them. And they're going to be choosing between Rico Dowdle and somebody else that's not super trustworthy. So he is a think. However, I would prefer the other guy very likely. Like, you throw out the options you have to us in the socials or if you want, but the flex considerations that would be going up against Rico Dowdle, I am very likely going to like the other one because, as you mentioned, Chuba and Rico Dowdle have been eating into each other's work.
Yeah.
The Seahawks defense lights out across the board. They have been amazing. They are one of the top defenses against running backs. I am terrified. Even if I knew Dowdle was going to get 65-70% of the work, I'd be scared for his efficiency in this matchup. But I also don't have no confidence in that. And like you said, Hubbard's been getting more yards. So, like, Dowdle falls into the low end or mid-range RB3 range, I would say. Mm-hmm. There are guys in that range that I would probably like to start over him. Tony Pollard, for sure, is one of them. Michael Carter is one of them.
Yeah.
Woody Marks, I would probably consider over Rico Dowdle.
How about Cleveland? Dylan Sampson, Raheem Sanders.
No.
It's the Steelers' defense.
Would
you be interested in Isaiah Davis playing behind a Breece Hall? Would you be interested in maybe a Jalen Wright? This is the areas of production that we have been getting from this backfield. And like, folks, we're not just throwing out names out there just to be like, oh, this is how bad they are. No, this is the level of play we have been getting in return. So these are legit questions. And like Okada was saying, like, this is the RB3 and that flex frames, like, would you throw an A.D. Mitchell over Rico? Probably, right? Like, I feel comfortable with that. I feel comfortable throwing an A.D. Mitchell with a Brady Cook over a Rico Dowdle. Like, it's like one of those situations. It's nasty work versus nasty work. And it's more so of like, hey, what have I seen from this player in X amount of weeks? What is the ceiling? And we haven't seen Rico activated in a very, very long time. So I don't think it's worth chasing in the championship, Okada.
In PPR, I definitely think you can go to receivers like A.D. Mitchell or other like much lower tier wide receivers than going with Rico Dowdle. Another one I would say to go over him at running back is Blake Corum. I would definitely start Blake
Corum. Oh, yeah. Corum's been a top 10 running back for the last couple of weeks. Absolutely.
He's been very good.
Don't
But what I one thing I will say is, and this is kind of how I teed it up with like that you're thinking about it, I'd rather not. I think the other running back names you just brought up are perfect names to bring up to where people are asking, like, should I get that cute? And I would say no. Like the Isaiah Davises, the Dylan Sampsons in a very tough matchup. Those are the ones where I would be like, man, should I pick this guy up off the waiver wire and roll him out over Rico Dowdle in this tough matchup with how inconsistent Dowdle's been? But to those kinds of guys, I would say no, because I do still think Dowdle can, like, he has a higher floor. I think he will probably get to 7-8 fantasy points. I just think his ceiling is drastically reduced here. So I would play him over those kind of crazy, crazy deep plays, but I would not play him over the other guys that we mentioned here. I would try to find an alternative if I can.
For my last burning question, I'm going to break it up into a two-parter because I think it's an interesting conversation to start having now. But I want to do a temp check on Brian Thomas Jr. Like, what do you feel about your expectations this week, sliding him in as a flex play or even a wide receiver too? I don't know. Wherever you have him on your roster, what is your expectations this week?
This is such a tough one, Laquan. I will just precursor anything else I have to say about Brian Thomas with my bonus thing to know from earlier that we just don't know. Like, this is a perfect example of that. I could see Brian Thomas having 6 catches on 8 targets for 120 yards and a touchdown. Easily, I could see that against a Colts defense that is very beatable, especially for wide receivers. I could also see him having 2 catches on 3 targets for 18 yards, which is what he did last week against that was against the Broncos, in fairness. But, like, that is the range of outcomes for Brian Thomas Jr. because he's been so inconsistent, so up and down, and it's not just the Broncos that shut him down 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago when he was coming back from the injury, 2 catches for 28 yards on 3 targets against Tennessee, who are a soft matchup. And then obviously earlier in the year, it was a whole bunch of meh. Now, that was with Trevor Lawrence also being meh. So with Trevor Lawrence being hot against a defense that does not have Pat Surtain and Riley Moss, I am feeling better about Brian Thomas Jr. I think you can play him and hope for a decent wide receiver 3 type day. But that would be my expectation. I'm not saying high-end wide receiver 2 or anything like that. And he has, I think, a very low floor. So risky play.
I like where you ended at. Wide receiver 2. This is where I'm fast-forwarding to off-season conversation. We need to have these conversations now so we're not surprised in June when their ADPs shoot up or they shoot down. I'm really thinking that Brian Thomas Jr. may not be a wide receiver 2 coming off the board next season. And that is not a hot take. Like, I feel like people are not comfortable hearing that, receiving yet, and understanding that, because I can go X amount of rounds. And if I'm looking for a wide receiver 2 and Brian Thomas Jr. sitting in front of me, I'm probably not going to pull that trigger, because you know why? I'm probably going to play the safer play here, which is Jacoby Myers, who just locked up a 3-year deal. Like, I feel like Jacoby is going to be disrespected heading into the summer, heading into the offseason, to where we're going to forget, like, oh yeah, Jacoby Myers, this guy. And then we're going to serve Brian Thomas Jr. up again as this wide receiver 2, or where it's a new start. Like, Okada, I'm just curious of where your mind is wrapped around this Brian Thomas Jr. talk.
Yeah. Again, with him, it's so tough because on the one hand, we've seen his talent. Now, mostly we saw that talent with Mac Jones. So maybe he and Trevor Lawrence just hate each other. But we have seen the talent nonetheless. He looked like one of the best wide receivers in the league for a stretch of like 6.
Don't do it.
Weeks.
Yes. There you go.
8 weeks last season at the end in his rookie year. Like, there was a lot of people who thought this guy was going to join the Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb tier early on in his career.
Yeah.
And that is just so clearly not the case now. The question is much more accurately, how far has he fallen? Yeah. With Trevor Lawrence, he's never really been elite. They just signed Jacoby Myers to an extension, a 3-year extension. Like, this is not a small thing. This is, we really like Jacoby Myers. We want him to be a stable part of our wide receiver core with Trevor Lawrence and this offense we're building under Liam Cohen.
He's a 1. And, go ahead. Say it, Okada. Yeah, he's the wide receiver 1. Like, that's why I feel like it's so hard for some people to say and to process and receive that. Like, Jacoby Myers has been a wide receiver 1 for your Patriots with mid-tier quarterback play. Not saying Trevor is mid. I'm just saying he has been operating at a high level to have the reliable hands that the quarterback needs. He has the football IQ. He's a former quarterback. So you have a quarterback out there running routes, knowing where to be, and that has become the most reliable source for production. Folks, it's okay. Jacoby Myers is the wide receiver 1 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think this needs to be just pounded in people's heads, like the listeners' heads, that it's okay. Brian Thomas Jr. is not the wide receiver we thought he was with Trevor Lawrence. We got to adjust the rankings, Okada. Like, I don't want to be here in August talking about Brian Thomas Jr. going in the first 3 rounds, because I think that is not where he should be going.
And by the way, Laquan, let's not forget, the running backs are super involved. They always are in Liam Cohen offenses in the passing game. So there's going to be those targets. B, Brenton Strange, I think, is a very good tight end.
He is so good.
He could be on this on an arc where he's one of the top 5 tight ends year after year in the next several years. So you've got those targets.
I might have gone for that one.
And let's not forget, Travis Hunter still exists. We've largely forgotten about him because he's been on injured reserve, but they drafted this guy at the very, 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 very top of the draft because they want to involve him, probably on both sides of the ball. So you're looking at Jacoby Myers as a possession guy, a number of other decent options in the passing game, and then Brian Thomas Jr. maybe ends up as like a deep thready 6 to 8 touchdowns a year. This is really hard to avoid.
As
a player where you just don't have any confidence. And while you were talking, Laquan, I pulled up the actual splits with him and Trevor Lawrence using the RotoViz Game Splits app, which is a really fun place to go, by the way. He's played 22 games with Trevor Lawrence. This is his full season pace in his Trevor Lawrence games. 62 catches, 997 yards, 6 touchdowns.
This sounds like Al.
That is exactly what it sounds like. That is a perfect example of what Brian Thomas Jr. could be down the stretch. In fact, those two teams, I would say, are quite mirrored because you've got a possession guy, you've got a tight end who's viable, you've got a running back who can catch passes. I think Brian Thomas Jr. might be Alec Pierce.
That's nasty. Which is rough. And that's the thing. And Alec Pierce ain't going in the first 10 rounds. And I'm not saying Brian Thomas Jr. should go outside the 10 rounds. Like, I don't care how you structure your roster. I'm just saying the discount, I don't even want to call it a discount. The just basically where his ADP just ends up falling needs to be in a place where you feel comfortable taking him off the board as your wide receiver 3, your wide receiver 4. Like, where we were drafting Brandon Ayuk and Debo this year, right? Keenan Allen's of the world. Where we were drafting them, that's where I think Brian Thomas Jr. should be going.
I would say I would almost without a doubt rather have next season in fantasy drafts Alec Pierce at whatever his draft price is than Brian Thomas Jr. at whatever his draft price is.
Oh, yes, I agree. I cannot wait until we start having these off-season conversations because clearly we're on the same frequency of thinking. But I know there's folks out there in the fantasy streets that will be like, no, this is a comeback season for Brian Thomas Jr. Folks, no, this is why you got burnt the first time. If you didn't see it happen with Mr. William Trevor Lawrence, then you are going based off of what Mac Jones was doing and having him hit those 19 fantasy points per game with Mac and having the wide receiver 1 price tag placed on him. That's why you're sitting here now with the egg on your face. So I want to end on the positive note, Okada. Give us your final thoughts for Week 17 championship, man. How are you going to be bringing home the gold?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you exactly how I'm going to be bringing home the gold, Laquan, because I made 1 championship this year in, I think, 8 leagues, which sounds terrible, but realistically, it actually is okay because, you know, there's 12 teams in most of these leagues. Some of them, there's 14. So if you only make 1 championship, that's kind of like on average. But how I'm going to do it is Bijan Robinson and the Saints defense. That's how I'm going to do it. I also had a good game from Dak Prescott already, which is nice, but not so good game from Courtland Sutton. So not so nice there. But the other way I'm going to do it is by using the 10 things to know over at FTN, using the FTN rankings, which are, by the way, I don't know if we've touched on this much this year, Laquan, but our FTN rankers are all among the highest ranked accuracy rankers in the business. Talk about it. So if you don't have access to the FTN rankings, if you're not checking those out on the FTN website week to week, stop it. What are you doing? Go check those out. Use those to help make your decisions. That's how you're going to win fantasy championships.
Absolutely, and
I'm praying to the fantasy gods.
Absolutely, we're praying to the fantasy gods each and every single day, and every Sunday we are hopeful that they bless us with maximum fantasy points. Thank you guys for listening, man. Happy holidays, happy new year. We'll be going on hiatus, but we will be back in the off season to make sure you guys are strapped in to all the greatest fantasy content here at the FTN Fantasy Show, and we'll see you guys until then. 2026, here we go.